What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? There's nothing like a good sea shanty in the morning to start your day, is there? So sea shanty is a sea song, a song of the sea that sailors used to sing a long time ago. And I don't know why I know that song, but I think everyone in England knows that song. Maybe not the whole of it. I don't think I know. Maybe I know a little bit more of it. But today's episode is not about sea shanties. It's about weird cultural things in English. I'm guessing that most of you, maybe all of you, have never even heard that song before. Who knows? Maybe it's been translated into many languages and has made its way around the world. But like I said, I think everyone in England, everyone in the UK probably knows that song, or, you know, the tune or some lyrics for it. And there's so many, when I think about it, there's so many little cultural bits of information from songs, from television, from films, that it's almost like, these things make you more British. If you know them, if you learn them. Why does my watch go off at the wrong time when I'm recording? If you know them and you learn them, it makes you sound so very British, I think. And maybe not that sea shanty. if you walk around singing that sea shanty, I think it will make you seem crazy, but it would certainly be amusing. It would certainly be fun. If I said, "Are you free?" or "I want that one," would you? Does anyone actually know? Does anyone listening to this podcast know what I'm talking about? I mean, yeah, you can probably understand what I've just said, but without the sort of like background information, this like cultural background information, there's no context. It has no meaning. And yet, I'm pretty sure, I mean, maybe the first thing I said, the "I'm free" thing, that's a bit old now. So there's people who are my age and younger who don't know what that is. But maybe the "I want that one" thing I said, that reference, I think most people, almost everyone in the UK probably knows what that is from a television program. I think it's about 10 years old now or more, but it was so popular that everyone pretty much knew what it was. So there are these little things sort of sewn into a culture and in a sense sewn into a language, like they're part of the language. But they're things that you're never taught and you can never be taught. I've never seen a book about like little bits of English cultural information. I'm going to call them English titbits. So a titbit is like a small piece of information. Here's a little titbit for you. That's quite a good word. Does anyone know titbit? Maybe this is a perfect example of what I'm trying to talk about today. These little, like, it could be a phrase. It could be, like I said, something from the television or a word. Like blighty. Does anyone know what blighty means? Old blighty. It's another name for England. It might be a name for the UK, actually. Probably it's all of the UK. But you can say to someone, I'm just going to head back to old blighty. It's old fashioned and it's not really popular. Shut up my watch. I keep forgetting to put it on mute, sorry. Normally I have everything on mute, but for some reason I unmuted my watch stupidly. And it's very close to my mic, so I'm sure you can hear it. What was I saying? Yeah, there's these little sort of bits, these little tidbits that everyone knows. And old blighty, even though it's not common or used often, I'm pretty sure everyone knows what it means. And there are so many of them. Oh my. There really are. I know a long time ago I talked about a television program called The Royal Family. And I was watching that with someone who was not a native speaker of English. Their English was amazing. It was. But they weren't a native speaker of English. And they had so many questions about her. Like, what does this mean? Like, they could understand the English, the sentence, everything in the sentence, all of the words, the meaning. But there's no context around it because there's a lack of cultural knowledge. That's what it is, cultural knowledge. That's a hard thing to learn. But I think when you're learning a language, that is essential. You really have to learn. You really have to get that cultural knowledge. Well, I suppose you don't. I mean, let me think about it. You can have a perfectly fine conversation. If you're fluent in English, yeah, of course, you can have a perfectly good conversation with someone from England. But there's like this other level. I don't know how to describe it. It's like there's this next level where it's like, okay, not only are you fluent in English, but you also understand our culture. But you also understand our way of thinking or our humor. And that's when you've become British pretty much at that point. Maybe there are some people who think like you're only British if you're born in Britain. I don't think that. I think it's more about how you behave, what you think, how much of our culture you understand. I mean, like I can talk to an American and yes, we understand each other perfectly. But if we don't know enough about each other's culture, there's some kind of like disconnect. I don't know a good way of describing it, but there's like some distance between us that I always feel. Like, so I can say something and they just don't understand what I'm talking about. So those things, I think as well as a language, as well as just studying a language, you're also studying a culture, and you can't separate the two. Well, here's the annoying thing. Because you're studying English, I suppose there are like three main types of English, like American English. Actually, let's throw in Canadian English as well. Canadian English, Australian English, British English. I mean, there are other countries that are English-speaking as well, but I'm just going to stick with those four for now. It's like, which do you learn? How do you choose which one to learn? Which one's culture to learn? So imagine if you're learning American culture and English culture at the same time, and that's just going to be some weird mix-up, isn't it? And also, how do you know, like, what's British and what's American and what's Australian? I don't think there's any way of telling. So you just end up picking up this mixture of everything, which means it's, I mean, for anyone who's got, who like, really wants to sort of like be British. I know there are some people out there because I've read on like Twitter profiles they really want to like be British or something like that. For people like that, you've got a really hard job, I think, to do. I mean, for me it's easy because Japanese is pretty much only spoken in Japan. I mean, I know it's spoken quite a bit in Brazil as well, but I think apart from that, it's pretty much Japan only. But like, because English is everywhere, wow, it makes it much harder. But I will say the thing to do is just to be English, I think, be British. And what I mean by that is consume the same things, watch the same things, listen to the same things, read the same things, that British people read. And then you'll start to build up that cultural knowledge that is so valuable, I think, when you're making friends, when you're having a conversation with British friends. Of course, excuse me, This is advice that's only really for someone who's already advanced, you know, who's if you're like intermediate level, I don't think this is so important to think about too much at the moment. But certainly, even if you're at intermediate level and you sort of decided, you know, British English is the English for me, then make sure you're watching British things, you know, British films, drama, the news, BBC News, that kind of thing. Just try to limit the amount of American stuff, because American stuff, the internet is just American. Everything on the internet is American. There's almost nothing British. So I have such a hard time trying to keep my British British. keep my English British. I have such a hard time doing that. When every day I'm being thrown American English at me, and I'm trying not to pick up American phrases, and I'm trying not to pick up American words, and especially the American accent. I don't want to pick it up. So it's very difficult. But yeah, if you've decided that British English is the English you want to focus on, and British culture too, then just make sure you're consuming enough of it. Make sure you're watching, listening to, reading enough of it. And then I think that will just all come naturally, given enough time. And especially if you're able to make friends with British people, that's going to help a lot, because you'll hear all of the weird phrases and things we say, and what our strange sense of humour, our unique sense of humour, I think. Anyway, I think I've said all that I wanted to say today. I didn't say it in the most eloquent way. It wasn't explained very well, I don't feel, but it was a bit of a difficult topic, and I wasn't sure how I was going to explain it exactly. So I hope I've done a good enough job so that you can understand what I've said, or you've got some idea of what I'm talking about. Essentially, to put it simply, to summarize, if the English you're focusing on is British English, make sure you're consuming British media. That's it. It's as simple as that, really. Everything else will just come in time. You'll start learning about our culture. You'll start learning about people who are famous here, who aren't famous anywhere else in the world. You'll start learning our phrases, our habits, our humor. It will all just come together. And like I say, I do think it's important to also learn this along with the language you're learning. And it's something that I try to do when I'm learning Japanese, by learning about, I don't know, famous people in Japan who aren't famous anywhere else. And there are a lot of them. There aren't that many famous Japanese people, like worldwide famous Japanese people, I don't think. Someone said like the most famous Japanese person was Yoko Ono, John Lennon's wife, but it's probably true, but that was so long ago, wasn't it? Since then, I didn't really think. There's an actor who's quite famous, but no. So yeah, sorry, bit sidetracked there. Anyway, yeah, I have said all I wanted to say and explained it pretty badly. But I hope it was fun to listen to. I hope it was some good English listening practice for you anyway. Until next time, bye-bye.